Be perfect. Just be perfect. Well, now, what am I supposed to do with that? Be perfect? Jesus, you've got to be kidding. I am not perfect. And if this is really your command, it drives me to despair. There are over 600 commands in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. The wisest of Israel's teachers have long realized that perfect obedience is impossible. So what are these commands for? And what does just be perfect mean? Well, look back in time, a long way back. When God brought old Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, God wanted the people to live a new kind of life, individually and collectively. God gave a law through Moses to guide people into this way of life. And over the years, many commands were added to the original law of Moses. Some of these commands were very specific in their application to Israel in that land. Some were general, very relevant to life everywhere and at all times. When you reap the harvest of your fields, you shall leave some of your grain and grapes in the field for the poor and the alien. You shall not steal. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not hate in your heart any of your kin. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is a sample of how God wants you to live. Honestly, fairly, with compassion for the needy and sympathy for the alien. But generations passed, and selfishness and greed began to be felt among the people of Israel. Landowners began to gather every possible grain from their harvest. Merchants began to stretch the truth to make a few more sales. Feuds and hatred sprung up even within the larger nation of Israel. Men who had lost a dispute thirsted for revenge on their adversaries. The larger goals of the law, fairness, compassion, concern for the needy, were forgotten. Details of religious custom became more important than love of God and love of neighbor. The life of God's people in time became very like the life of everyone else. And now Jesus calls his followers to a new way of life. Or more precisely, Jesus calls his followers to remember the purpose and the intention of that law given so long ago. Do not resist an evildoer. Turn the other cheek. Give to everyone who begs from you. Love your enemies. These are the deepest intent of the law. And since we have drifted so far from the intention of God which lies behind the law, these words sound strange, even shocking to us. Love your enemies? We have been taught to destroy our enemies and even to rejoice in their destruction. As practical guidelines for life, these admonitions seem almost impossible, don't they? Well, around Harrisonburg, we have a number of Mennonite communities. Mennonites, along with their cousins, the Amish, take these words of Jesus quite seriously. Especially those who are called Old Order Mennonites choose to separate themselves in many ways from American society in order to follow Jesus' words more closely. So we are accustomed to seeing horse-drawn buggies on the roads. And in time of war, we see young people refusing military service, although many have instead done alternative service. Some alternative service has been difficult and even dangerous in itself. My own feelings toward these separate communities are mixed. I see that they benefit from our modern society, from the military which defends them, from our highly developed infrastructure, the roads which allow them to take their very good produce to market. Sometimes it seems that they choose when they want to be a part of our society and when they want to opt out of it. And this is a little annoying to me. But on the other hand, the Mennonite willingness to do without many modern conveniences, the willingness to accept criticism from outsiders, speaks of their deep commitment to the lifestyle that Jesus shows us. Their life becomes a witness to a very different vision of how to live, and their very presence forces me to reevaluate my commitment to Jesus. How much of my life is shaped by American society with its strong bias toward getting and consuming as much as I want? How much of my life is really shaped by my commitment to Jesus? When I meet a buggy on the road, I am reminded that I must consider these questions. Can the Mennonites live in their distinctive way only because they are a small part of a larger society? Could a nation or a society as a whole survive if it lived totally in the style of the Old Order Mennonites? I don't know. Maybe Jesus intends his words to puzzle us. Maybe Jesus wants us to force to look at our world and at ourselves with critical eyes. We are so used to our world as it is and as it has been for most of human history. In most societies, those who steal are punished. We consider our justice system to be advanced because we no longer execute people for stealing a loaf of bread. Because we do not hit our neighbors very frequently, we are proud of ourselves and say that we are peaceful people. But if we hate the radical Muslims in Iran, we think that's normal. Jesus calls his followers to step out of our familiar attitude and way of life, to give up the race for money and status, even to lay aside the human desire to avenge real wrongs which have been done to us. Maybe we can't do this fully. I don't think most of us can. But I do know that we can get a whole lot closer to the life Jesus sets before us than we are now. On a personal level, we can move away from thinking that a t-shirt slogan that reads, "I don't get mad, I get even," is funny. Getting even never works, you know. In my own experience, on those occasions when I have gotten even with somebody, it really hasn't felt that good. An eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind is a much wiser attitude toward life. Jesus calls us to step away from our familiar way of life and to step into the way of life God has intended from the beginning. The aggressive empire and the greedy corporation cannot produce the kind of new life we want and need. If we are to find the life God offers, We must go beyond the system of an eye for an eye. The old rules will not bring us the new world we desire and need. And the new way of life in this new world is what some of us call salvation. It's here and it's now for those who will lay hold on it. Don't overlook that admonition from Jesus with which we began this sermon. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, is what most modern translations read. Quite a shocking demand. But that word perfect is very apt to mislead us. The word in the original language does not primarily suggest scoring 100% on a test of 600 moral rules, which is how it may sound to our ears. Doing that would simply lead us back into the system of keeping rules and an attempt to earn God's favor, and that is exactly not what Jesus is about. Instead, the word perfect also means something like complete or accomplished or fulfilled. So, be perfect means something like be what you are intended to be, or be fully human. Be the loved and loving child of God, reflecting the goodness of your Creator. This is what Jesus is saying. This is the life of God's children for which you and I were created. And you can live into this new life. Jesus shows it to us and offers us the way. You will not score 100% on a test of 600 rules, but probably you will find that you can come much closer to the kind of life Jesus describes in the Sermon on the Mount than you ever thought you could. Try it. Amen and amen.